everybody, and welcome to episode 43 of the DigiEat podcast. My name's Nicole Yates, and I'm your host. Today we have an awesome guest in James McDaniel, otherwise known as Peppermint Fatty. James does lots of live streaming with the Discovery Channel and Home and Garden and stuff like that. And he also does some food stuff, which is a lot of fun. So we had a great talk. It is a great talk. It's a long one, but you guys are going to love it. It's pretty great. And don't forget, we are sponsored by Ha Ha Hot Sauce, HAHAHotsauce.com. Grab some today. It's delicious. Carolina Reaper Pepper. You can't beat it. But first, a word from our friends at the 12 Questions Podcast.
Hey folks, this is Anna Valenzuela and Dave Yates from the 12 Questions Podcast.
We host a show about all types of people recovering from life's curveballs.
We ask unique and fun guests 12 questions to give listeners hope and inspiration.
Whether you've got addiction problems, anger problems, or just plain old getting through the days that feel the same, we believe recovery isn't just for clean and sober people.
So, if you're looking for a pick-me-up at the beginning of the week, tune into our show. New episodes released every Monday, available wherever you get your podcasts.
And if you're out there and you're feeling lost, we've been there, and we just want to let you know we love you.
And now, here's James McDaniel.
All right, here I am with James McDaniel. Hey, finally.
I didn't know this was going to be a musical show. I'm really excited now because I have zero musical talent whatsoever other than banging on things.
Well, I mean, that's really all it is anyway, isn't it?
I think that's true. That's basically life at this point.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. So you were just talking about your hometown.
Yeah, I've got the weirdest hometown, incredibly religious, the most churches per capita of any town in either in America or the world. We were in the Guinness Book for a while. We had a weird coffee shop. The only coffee shop in town was half coffee place, half Pentecostal clothing place, which means covers everything except maybe if you're a little wild, you can get a little ankle. We have a tank in our park, the big park. There's a World War II tank with spikes all over it that children for generations are just hanging off the spikes. You can like hang off the actual gun and then fall 18 feet, get a little, you know, just a little banged up. It's a very strange town.
Wow.
I guess that produced me.
I would climb a tank. I mean, that's pretty cool.
You got to do it at least for the gram, right? Yeah, like there's a tank that you can do whatever you want on. You got to get on the tank.
Absolutely.
Oh, the other highlight is Easter Island Heads in that park. We've got the tank and we've got Easter Island Heads, and they're the only things that actually survived the 30 hurricanes that hit the town this year. There's just a tank and Easter Island Heads and a bunch of knockdown trees.
What is the story behind Easter Island Heads?
They're like, there's this area with like fake kind of rocks on the ground that kids can like frolic on and fall on and not get killed. And then there's these things they built for them to climb on, and they're just Easter Island Heads. They're the exact same as the Maori or whoever built them, the giant heads in Easter Island. And I don't know why they decided, you know what really epitomizes the spirit of DeRidder, Louisiana, of Southwest Louisiana? Easter Island Heads. Let's go for that. And that's what they did. Yeah.
Wow.
It's a weird place.
Well, I've only been to Louisiana once, and that was when I was driving out to LA, and we drove
Where were you driving to LA from that sent you through Louisiana?
I took 95, and then we took the 20.
Were you coming from Pittsburgh? Where were you coming from? Florida?
Coming from Philly. You come all the way down to Columbia, South Carolina.
And then
across. Yeah.
Okay. I gotcha. That makes sense.
Yeah. So we drove through like Alabama and Mississippi as quickly as possible. and then it was starting to get late and we drove into Louisiana, and I don't know why there's like no lights on the roads. It was kind of
nobody creepy. Needs to see what's happening after dark in Louisiana. Yeah, nobody needs to see.
It was a little scary, you know, and then I wanted to stop and get gas. So I see sign on the side of the road, gas, this exit. I get off and it's just like road, and the side of the roads just sort of drop off.
It's like gas eventually.
Yeah.
Which I don't need that on my interstate sign. Like I need it to be immediately there.
Right. So we're driving and I'm like, we're going to get either eaten by alligators or we're going to fall off the road. So after driving for about 15 minutes, we just turned eventually we came, got back on the highway and ended up at a Cracker Barrel next to a Holiday Inn. And that's where we stayed that night.
Cracker Barrel is basically the savior of travelers nationwide.
It really is. It really is. People shit all over it, but the food is good. I don't care what anybody
says. Biscuits. Yeah. There's rocking chairs. I don't need anything else. Yeah. I'm good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Chicken fried steak, baby. I'm all about it.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Yeah. And their mac and cheese is good and the mashed potatoes are good. And like, you know, I was tired and freaking out because I was, you know, moving 3,200 miles away from home. So like it was fine. But that's my only experience. Yeah. It was my only experience in Louisiana. I have friends who go to, you know, Mardi Gras and stuff every year, but like
I'll tell you what, you need to come back to Louisiana at some point. And there's actually a thriving stand-up community in Lafayette, Louisiana.
Really?
Which is it's west of New Orleans on Interstate 10. It's around 180,000 people. And it's kind of one of the most culturally rich cities in the state. It's the center of Cajun country. It's where all the Cajuns congregate. I think there was actually a story in the New York Times years ago about Lafayette, Louisiana, having the least mobile population in America. As in, if you're born there, you are most likely going to die there because the culture doesn't exist anywhere else. And they have at least four different stand-up venues going
really
Friday and Saturday every week, which is pretty good for a small town in the South.
Wow. Huh.
We've got to get you in here.
Well, there used to be a festival, a comedy festival in New Orleans, the Hell Yes Fest. I don't know if that's still a thing. I think somebody that was involved with it.
I
can't say for certain, but I think I remember reading that some people that were involved were like doing some things they weren't supposed to be, like touching people and being gross.
That sounds right. That sounds like New Orleans.
Yeah. So, well, unfortunately, it's a huge problem in the comedy community of like guys taking advantage of people. So,
heard a lot about that in the last year.
Yeah. It's a problem. It's a huge problem. But you know, what's great about social media is that it's real hard to get away with that now.
Yeah. And that's a good thing. That's always a good thing.
Absolutely. It's a total good thing. And it, you know, sometimes I'm just like, who's going to get nailed next? Like, you know, I get worried. I'm just like, who is it? Who is the next creep that I didn't think was a creep? Okay.
Yeah. Or who's the next creep who's like my really good friend? You know what I mean?
Oh, knock on wood.
Because it could be anybody at any time.
Yeah. Knock on wood. You know, that has not happened recently, thank or at all, really. You know what's funny? Usually when someone gets nailed for that, when you sort of look back, you're like, hey, that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, totally makes sense. For anybody listening that hears a small dog, I got hit by like dozens of hurricanes this year. And so I've been living in hotels and Airbnbs for the last 6 months. So I'm in a hotel room with my little dog and she thinks she sees invaders through the window. And there's not a lot I can do to get away from it, but she's ready to cut some throats at any moment.
She looks like she's
safe, at least.
She looks like she's pretty comfortable on the bed there. So
yeah, that's the thing. She's like, I love the fact she's just chilling. She's stretched out on the bed, but also is like, people are coming for us. Like, I don't know what's going on in her little head, but I adore it.
She's just trying to stay on point, even when she's trying
to relax.
Yeah, exactly. That's so funny.
Just because people may be invading our room doesn't mean you can't still, you know, live a luxurious life on this bed.
Absolutely. I mean, she really looks just spread out and like just relaxing. Can't beat that. Nice Sunday afternoon snoozle. You can't beat it.
Exactly. Ooh, I like that word. I like snoozle.
Yeah, snoozles, it totally covers anything that an animal does.
Yeah. She's also my chief inspectigator.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, anytime there's anything going on, she's going to get in it, under it, sniff it. She's investigating everything. And that's why I've never been attacked by a snake as long as I've had her. I just assume. Yeah, none of these hotels have had a snake problem. I have to assume it's due to her.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thank God, because snakes are scary right. And nobody needs
them. My dad was really old when I was born. And so he used to tell me stories of like the outhouse life back before there was indoor plumbing. And And all his stories were about going out to this outhouse in the night. There was always a snake in the outhouse. And so for like the first 20 years of my life, I'm checking every toilet for snakes, every toilet. Cause this was ingrained in me, but like before I was five, like if you need to go to the toilet, you better check for snakes.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a wow. very different, the man led a very different life than me.
Wow. Well, I had a friend who lived a couple blocks from me, and her mom was, her mom wanted to get her bathroom remodeled. And I have a friend that does that. So I was like, oh, why don't you call Pat and he'll take a look. So, so long story short, he went over there. He's like working on the bathroom. And one day he gets this hysterical phone call from my friend's mom. And she's like, there's a rat. What did you do? And he's like, what? So he goes over there.
He installed rats.
No, he had taken the toilet off. And what you do is that you just stuff plastic bags down there, you know, to sort of like temporary seal it, you know, until you can come back to the new toilet. And like around the corner, they had knocked down all of this stuff. So like when they knock down buildings, you know what happens? Everything goes.
Yeah. Oh. Everything scatters.
Yeah. So a rat had come up through the pipe, and she went in there to like, I don't know, wash her hands or something, and looked down, and there's this like rat looking at her, and she just freaked out. And by the time he got there, of course, the rat was like scared and like ran away and like went back down the pipe. And but yeah, no, I just hilarious.
That's awesome. I love that.
I love stuff like that. Like it's silly.
And she probably, like the rat's probably telling everybody else, like, do not come into this house. Yeah. There are crazy people in here. Yeah.
Skip this one. Go to the next one. It's fine. It's
exactly.
Fine. So you are like born and bred Louisiana, huh?
I've never lived anywhere else in my life.
Yeah?
Yeah. I wish I had a great Louisiana accent. I wish I had a great Cajun accent. But from when I spend time in my hometown, it's just country. I just sound like a country bumpkin. And I try so hard to get that out of my voice because my job is like doing live videos for HGTV, for Travel Channel.
Right.
I do sports talk radio, and nobody wants to just hear a country bumpkin telling them about what's going on their TVs. Nobody wants to hear that in America. So I try to get it out, but it still slips through. Man, I wish
you got a little bit of an accent, but like, not like I don't expect you to sort of walk out in like overalls with like hay in your teeth or anything, you know.
Which is a real shame because I think I could really pull that look off. I got a lot of people congratulating me after they discovered Letterkenny because they think I'm Squirrely Dan. Yeah.
Squirrely Dan.
Exactly.
Nice.
Well, so if it ever came to that, I think I could pull that off.
Uh-huh.
Well, I just have to get my voice going back a little ways.
Well, do you think, like, would you move someplace else?
I would. The thing is, like, again, I was getting a lot of work before all the hurricanes hit.
Right.
But since they hit, because I've been moving around, I haven't been getting that much work. And I think a lot of it is they, like, my employers don't have full confidence I have good internet because usually I don't. It is incredibly difficult to get solid internet in hotels and Airbnbs. Most Airbnbs, the people own like 30 Airbnbs and they just get the most basic internet possible.
Right.
So right now I would move almost anywhere, especially north, because there's not a gene in my body that is meant to exist anywhere above 72 degrees.
Sure.
And honestly, 72 gets a little warm. So yeah, for work, I'd move just about anywhere right now.
You should come.
I'd miss Louisiana.
Well, you could always visit. It's not going anywhere.
That's true.
You should come out to LA because like everybody's leaving. There's lots of places to rent.
The cost of real estate in LA, I don't think I could afford a latte, much less an apartment. But maybe. My buddy Jamie Kaler, who's a stand-up, he's been trying to get me out there. He's like, you'll get so much work. You will.
Like,
get out here. Really?
Yeah, you should come out.
I will absolutely look into this. We need to talk more about this off the air.
Oh, definitely. Well, let's talk a little bit about the food situation out there.
Okay.
Because I have my friend Stephanie and her boyfriend Mark, who I've known like forever and ever. Like they are like hardcore I love New Orleans people. And I have other, my friends, Katie and Rob, like they're hardcore New Orleans people. Like they love it. They go every chance that they possibly can, and they will not shut up about the food.
They're just really digging it in, aren't they?
Yeah, they just love it, you know? But like, is there more than like what you just like sort of like hear, but like, you know, like the crawfish and like the beignets and, you know, the giant hurricane drinks?
You know. That's the thing, is like so much of what people think about Louisiana is just Bourbon Street.
Right.
Like you are not going to get anywhere near the best bar, even just the best bar in New Orleans isn't going to be on Bourbon Street. That's just the places, again, with the giant hand grenades, the giant like bowls that look like there should be fish in it. This city, whenever anybody visits and they want to know where should I go eat, it's like, where are you? Because there's amazing food in every single neighborhood in this town. There's a place. So the queen of bounce music, Big Frida, was interviewed by the New York Times, and they asked her, what are your must do's in New Orleans? And she named a place called Verde Mart. Verde Mart is in the French Quarter, and it's just a corner store. It's basically a bodega, but they said, like, apparently I was told for years, they have the best po' boy in New Orleans is at this tiny little hole in the wall, like grocery store. And I finally went a couple weeks ago, and sure enough, it is the best po' boy I have ever had. The best po' boy by far. And it's better than all of these famous places that Homer Simpson went on The Simpsons to get po' boys. This is an amazing food city because you have so many influence, not only Cajun Creole. A lot of people don't realize there's a massive Vietnamese population in Louisiana. There's a reason for it. I don't know the reason for it, but like one of the big foods a lot of people don't know about is called yucca mane, which you should look up. It's something you would get at like pho places, which I don't even know how to pronounce that really.
You did it. That's it. Pho. Yeah.
Yes. Finally. It's taken a lot of years for me to finally get that out of my mouth correctly. But really, there's almost any food you could want. There are a number of places here that do it really, really well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. Well, so that po' boy, like what made it the best po' boy that you had? Like what's different about it?
So the bread was different, which generally every po' boy in town, the bread is from a place called Leidenheimer's Bakery, and it's kind of what po' boys are known for, being made from this bread. I don't even know where this bread comes from. Their bread was just perfect. It soaked up the moisture perfectly. And it was not like traditionally when you think of po' boys, you think of a roast beef po' boy, a fried shrimp po' boy. This had like turkey, ham. It had boiled shrimp. And of course it had your traditional like pickles and lettuce and mayo, but it just totally hit different. It was so moist. A lot of places overstuff them too much, where like you would have to sit there with like a knife and a fork. And this was just like the perfect sandwich. And it blew my mind, because I'd eaten at all the best places and I already determined what the best place was. I thought it was this little kind of dive bar called Parasols, but nope, it's Verde Mart in the French Quarter. So if you're ever in New Orleans in the French Quarter, go to Verde Mart. It's called All That Jazz is the name of the sandwich. And I didn't even go prepared to order it. I was going there for like some fried fish, some thin cut fried catfish. And they're like, hey, is this your first time? I'm like, yeah. And they're like, well, let me tell you, 50% of all we sell is the All That Jazz sandwich. I'm like, fry it up or whatever, bag it up. That's what I want to try. Absolutely amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, yeah, because on a po' boy, isn't the shrimp is usually fried, right?
It's usually fried. And that's something I've actually realized is, so New Orleans is a very different vibe than the rest of South Louisiana. The rest of South Louisiana is a little more Bobby Boucher, a little more Waterboy. And all those places, it turns out, they put boiled shrimp on the po' boys. And it's really New Orleans that really loads up all the breaded deep fried things in the po' boys. And I always, I mean, come on, I'm a large man to be going by the name Peppermint Fatty on social media. And so I always assumed I would just like the fried breaded better, but it turns out I don't. And that was a big surprise to me.
Huh. Interesting.
Yeah. I like to tell myself in my mind that this is healthier, but I also have like a foot, like a clean foot of like bread with this. So it's not like I'm cutting carbs.
Right. Yeah. Oh man. Well, you know, it's funny. Like, are you a big seafood fan?
I love seafood so much.
Me too. Yes. And you know what's weird about LA is that it's not really a seafood town, even though we are would, on the
because you're coastal. Yeah, you'd think it would be.
Yeah. I like not really. And you, my favorite fish to eat is fried flounder. I love fried flounder. And
okay.
You can't get it here.
Well, now you can, and let me tell you where. If you can find a Popeye's chicken, they just debuted a Cajun flounder sandwich.
Oh, right.
That is the, have you had the Popeye's chicken sandwich?
I have not.
Okay. I'm just going to end. We're ending this interview right now. But so to me, the big deal about the Popeye's chicken sandwich was it is huge. It is delicious. And it's only $3.99. Mm-hmm. So on any budget, you can fill up on this sandwich, which is restaurant quality. If you ordered a fried chicken sandwich at a nice restaurant in LA, it's not going to be better than this Popeye's chicken sandwich. And right now, everybody else is coming out with their competing sandwiches. And I'm proud of it because Popeye's is a Louisiana company.
Right.
Everybody else right now is trying to come out with their version of the chicken sandwich. I tried McDonald's. It is hot garbage. It's more expensive and like half the size of the Popeye's one. But they just debuted this new Cajun flounder sandwich. And it is, I don't even really like I love seafood, but I don't like fish sandwiches from fast food places. I've never liked the filet of fish really or any of that. Mm-hmm. This thing is awesome. And they're so confident in it that I read that if you buy it and you don't like it, bring your half eaten sandwich back in and they'll give you a chicken sandwich.
Holy shit. Okay.
Yeah. It is really good. You really need to get out there.
I will. There's one.
Drive
right
as far
street
as you need to.
Yeah.
You need to go get both of those sandwiches and report back to me because they're life changing.
Yes, sir.
They're life changing.
Actually, you know who has a really good fish sandwich, believe it or not? Arby's.
Who's that?
Arby's.
Okay. I like Arby's. And
I'm a fan.
I've been now that I've had this Popeye's fish sandwich and coming off all these like Popeye's versus Chick-fil-A chicken sandwich things, now I want to try all the other fish sandwiches. And I definitely want to try Arby's because I know it's going to be legit. Mm-hmm. I know it's not going to be bad because none of their sandwiches are bad.
I don't understand why Arby's has such a weird, bad reputation because I've never had bad food from Arby's. They used to have a really good chicken salad sandwich. Their roast beef is good. I mean, like,
yeah,
their fries, the curly fries, like, come on, curly fries. Well,
I always like it. Like, there's not a ton of Arby's down here, but whenever I'm on like a road trip, like there's always some along the interstate. And I love going because it's not something you get every day. Like if you're having to eat fast food, you're eating McDonald's, Wendy's, just your normal ones that are everywhere. And Arby's is such a great place to mix it up and get something different.
Yeah.
When you're tired of the same old cheeseburger.
Yeah, totally. I you know what's funny about McDonald's? I eat McDonald's once or twice a year. I love their fries, but every time I eat it, it makes me so sick. I love Wendy's. Wendy's is the bomb. And you know, occasionally I'll hit the Arby's. There's a Carl's Jr. up the street, and there's also a Tommy Burger, which is like a chili cheeseburger place. Yeah.
I would love to try that. I do a couple of sports talk radio shows every week. I talk about fighting. Basically, if men are in their underwear punching each other, I'm talking about it.
Nice.
Whether it's pro wrestling, boxing, mixed martial arts. But one of the places I do it, they started getting me on to talk food as well. Like they had me on right before Thanksgiving. I told them I was prepared to rank the top 100 Thanksgiving sides, which is I had my top 10 and my bottom 10, and then a bunch of others randomly. So if they picked a number, I would just throw that out. So they'd think I had my 100. But one of the things they asked me was, if you could create a meal from any number of fast food places, what would it be? And it's something that is pretty easy in a small town, and it's probably pretty easy in a lot of neighborhoods in LA. And that is McDonald's fries. Like they're my favorite fries. Like a burger And if I have limited options from Wendy's, my favorite burger is Fat Burger. And then my drink would be from Sonic, because they have, to me, they have the best drinks, the best ice in North America. But I don't know how many Sonics there are out in LA.
I knew they're out here, but I haven't seen many. I think they're more outside of the city because they need.
I think that's true.
Yeah.
I had a friend who told me like they had to drive like 45 minutes from the LA area to get to one.
Yeah.
But I think that's a great question for people.
Yeah. Yeah. Years ago, I used to do this work for Disney where I had to like track the ads that they played before movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they pay me like minimum wage to like watch movies all day. It's pretty great. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. But like I would stop for lunch and they had an A&W in the food court. And man, their burgers are real good too.
Where I went to college at Louisiana Tech, it's a town called Ruston. I was really lucky because there were two chains that used to be like semi-national that now were dying out. One was called Griff's and one was A&W. And they were both really, really good, but there were only there's maybe a dozen Griff's and maybe less than 100 A&W's left in America.
Huh. I feel like A&W is a little, it's got to be popular in the Midwest or something, because I know that they're around. I haven't seen any out here.
Have you ever heard of Culver's?
Yes, I have.
I was looking at like Where America Is Eating. It was like clickbait Where America Is Eating during COVID. And there's the map and you could tell like these people are going to McDonald's. These people are going in and out. But I saw up north, I'm like, what is this blue and white thing?
Yeah.
And it was hard to zoom in enough. And I found out it was Culver's. And I looked it up. I'm like, the closest Culver's to me is Houston, Texas. And I'm 100% going to make that drive to Houston to get some Culver's to see what Wisconsin's talking about.
From what I have gathered, I almost went to a Culver's last year, the year before, whenever we were allowed to roam free in the world. I was in Chicago for work for MasterChef, and there was a Culver's, but it was like 45 minutes away.
Oh.
And apparently the big deal there is they have cheese curds, fried cheese curds. That's their big deal. And anybody I talk to that has been to Culver's that grew up with that is just like, mwah, it's supposed to be amazing.
That's one of the few things Louisiana doesn't have. I'm like, there's not cheese curds readily available, although Dairy Queen actually now sells fried cheese curds. Hmm. But I went to visit a friend in Chicago and she picked me up from the airport and's like, want to go to a cheese castle? And I'm like, I'm in. And she drove me to Wisconsin, which was like an hour away, to the Wisconsin Cheese Castle. And I had my first cheese curds and they were amazing, whether they were just plain or fried. I had both. They were incredible.
Wow.
Now I really want, apparently Culver has like butter burgers or something like that as well.
Yeah, they like fry them in butter. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like I owe it to people as Peppermint Fatty to make that 3-hour trip to Houston just for lunch and then drive back.
Sounds like me and you need to take a road trip. That's what it sounds like.
That's exactly what needs to happen.
Well, you know,
try all the fast food.
I love Chicago because Chicago is a pretty cool town.
It's one of my favorite places in America.
Yeah, everybody's super cool. I did a comedy festival there and like just really nice people. And the food's real great. And I love Polish dogs from Portillo's.
Oh,
it's like a hot dog on steroids. And it's so good. It's so good. And then they have this like chocolate cake shake. It's chocolate cake, milkshake, and then around the holidays they'll make it with like crushed up pieces of peppermint.
Yeah,
like peppermint candy.
I've got to tell you, when you just started talking about that chocolate shake cake, you looked like a roided up Vin Diesel talking about the newest Fast and the Furious. Like you were so into that, and I love it. I love the passion.
It was so good, and I was all by myself in this crowded fucking giant Portillo's, just like eating two Polish dogs and drinking this giant. I think it might have been my day off or like something like that. I had one day off, so like I was just trying to do what I could.
For everyone listening to this, Nicole is showing me a size of this shake that looks like a gallon jug.
It was like a milk jug.
Yeah, milk jug. Exactly. I really need to try that. I love, like, I feel like New York, Chicago looks like a more accessible New York. It's like totally you still have all the cool architecture and the giant buildings, and you can actually drive around, and every different neighborhood feels like a small town where everybody knows each other and they have their own vibe.
And it smells less like pee, which is nice.
Way less like pee, exactly. Also a Bourbon Street issue as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Do they just like power wash the sidewalks? I would imagine. Like
They do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's gross. They should really do that in New York a little more, but yeah.
Yeah. There are nights where like if you stay out a little too late in Bourbon Street on the wrong night, you're going to see garbage piled up like 4 feet high. They're power washing. The rats are fleeing for their lives. It's a whole different experience than you planned on. And there's going to be at least one person in most of those piles of garbage.
Yeah, it sounds about right. It's because the bars don't close, right? Isn't that the deal?
Yeah. There's a lot that stay open 24/7. Like the average time I think bars close is 4 a.m. But if you're smart, you know where the 24-hour ones are, because there's one. If you're going to visit New Orleans, Miss May's is my favorite dive bar. It is on Magazine Street, and it is the perfect place to start pre-gaming and to finish your night, because not only is it 24/7, mixed drinks like a Jack and Diet, they're $2.50.
Ooh,
and doubles are $3.
Whoa. That's dangerous.
That's real dangerous.
I hope they sell food.
Nah.
No
food.
That's a lot of, hey, how old are those potato chips behind the bar?
Exactly.
Wow. So you've been out here to LA before, right?
I have a number of times, but it's been a long time. I think my last time there was 2011. Uh-huh. I think 2011. I came out there for Fight Promoter University, who gave me my MBA, which stands for Masters of Boxing Administration.
Wow.
That's right. I have an MBA, ladies and gentlemen.
So sure. you've been to In-N-Out.
I have been to In-N-Out. I also love going to In-N-Out when I go to Vegas, because there's one just off the strip, just over this little bridge. And I really like the burger. Also, there's now In-N-Outs in Texas, which is, it's so strange. Like whenever I go to Waco, Texas for something, if I have to work on something for HGTV for like Fixer Upper, I always try and hit the In-N-Out. I love the burgers. I don't like the fries.
Okay,
to me, the fries are the weakness.
Okay, so here's the deal. The reason why there's In-N-Out in Texas is because that's where they actually get the meat from.
So really?
So that's why they decided to open a couple there. Because people got real excited when they started saying, hey, we're opening a couple In-N-Outs in Texas. And
they're
like, finally. And the company was like, don't get your panties in a twist. just make the meat there. So,
I'll tell you what, my favorite thing, I'm sorry to interrupt. My favorite thing about In-N-Out burgers, and it's so simple, I don't understand why everybody else doesn't do it, is the light toasting they do on the inside of the bun.
Yeah.
That changes everything.
It totally does.
Everyone could do it. Fast food place in America could do it so easily. I don't understand why they don't.
I don't know. They're into the steam bun. I think it's just easier for them to keep them in a steamer. But here's the secret.
It's just laziness.
Here's the secret with the fries. So the reason why, for those of you at home that don't know about In-N-Out fries, fast food fries, how they're cooked normally is you cook them once in one temperature, and then you cook them again in another temperature when you're ready to like send them out. In-N-Out only does the one fry. They don't do the second one. So the key to getting them like better is order them extra, extra well done.
Ooh, I didn't know that was an option.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. That's really good to know. Also, all my life, I would always say like fries are the one food like you can't eat later, until I started like, as I go through life, I try and learn to cook more and more things. Mm-hmm. I wasn't necessarily trying to learn how to cook fried things, but then I don't know how I just ended up with a bag of potatoes. And I'm like, I got to fry these SOBs up. And I started looking up how to make good fries. And it was the reheating them. And so then I had some really good fries, but they gave me a double order for some reason, and they got cold. And I just decided, all right, I'm going to put them in some oil and refry them. And that was the way to enjoy older fries, like not older, not like 4 days old, but from 4 hours ago.
Right.
And it was really, really good.
Huh. I have to try that. Well, with In-N-Out fries, no matter how you order them, you have to eat them immediately. Like, you have to. They are, as soon as they put them on the tray or put them in the bag, wherever you're going, you better get there. You better eat them right away. Because they only do the one fry, so they will seize. But I like to get them animal style.
Oh, yeah. My best friend likes that. I'm a little picky, and I'm getting there with animal style. Like, when I graduated from high school, I can list right now everything I ate. I ate meat, generally fried and breaded. I ate ketchup. I ate white bread. And I ate French fries. That's it. I didn't eat rice. I didn't eat anything else. I had the most limited palate of anybody you've ever met. And then I slowly, in college, friends would make fun of me because we'd go to a restaurant. I'll get a burger and fries. They're like, you have a second side, sir. I'm like, well, okay, mashed potatoes. Like, oh, you're getting meat, potatoes, and potatoes. And that was kind of the impetus to me expanding my palate. And I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
Oh, man.
What is your take? What is your take on Five Guys?
Their fries are really greasy.
Yes, they are.
And if I eat too much grease like that, my body doesn't react well to that.
Put me out of business for a couple days. I'm on the couch.
Yeah, but their burgers are real good. I like their burgers.
I like their burgers, but what I like the most from there, and I know more people than just them do this, but they're the first place I saw, is their hot dogs, where they'll slice them down the middle and then fry them on each side. And their hot dogs are the best. I think they're the best thing at Five Guys.
I wouldn't even think to get a hot dog there. That's not even like, wow.
Next time, give it a shot. I think they're better. They're way better than the burgers, because they don't have bad burgers. But like, when you bite into like an In-N-Out burger, there's things that stand out, again, like the toasted bread and things like that. And there's nothing that really stands out to me about a Five Guys burger. It's good.
Yeah, it's
but
just
I don't
meat.
Think it's great. Yeah, it's just meat. And I like meat, but the hot dogs are, there's something that really stands out about them to me from there.
Well, that's the way I make kielbasa.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. My uncle likes to call it Polish soul food. But take your piece of kielbasa, you cut it down into pieces, a couple of what's that, like 4 inches, something like that. Okay. Butterfly it and fry it like that, and then put it on a sandwich with a lot of hot mustard.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I like to fry sauerkraut too. So
there's something I'm trying to think of. I think it's a Philadelphia thing.
What's that?
So you might know about it. I'll tell you what it is, and you can tell me if you know about it, if you know the name. And basically, you are cooking hamburger meat with onions and mustard. You know what this is?
Oh,
I can't remember the name.
I think you're talking about a chopped cheese.
Chopped cheese, yeah.
That's actually a New York thing.
New York thing. Okay, yeah. I didn't realize that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'd never had like an actual chopped cheese in my life, but I heard about it from somebody, and I decided I'm going to try this because I was like on a low carb diet, and I was like, I don't need to put this on bread.
Sure.
And that, it was delicious. It was seriously delicious.
Yeah,
like that's all I ate for like a week. And then I was like, I'll hold off for a little while till the next chopped cheese round.
Well, my mom was sending me rolls from Philly. So I was, and the Ralph's has been selling like a shaved ribeye, which is what cheesesteak meat is. So I've been making cheesesteaks for all my friends that have never had cheesesteaks, and they're just like falling in love with them.
If I went to the store and I saw a shaved ribeye, which I've never seen in my life, I would buy all of it. I wouldn't know what I was going to do with it, especially in a hotel room, but I'd buy it all, and I'd be like, I'll figure this out later.
Oh, man. Cheesesteaks are so easy to make. You know, you put a little oil in your pan, you throw in your meat, you salt and pepper it, you throw in some onions. You could even, cook your onions a little bit before if you want to really cook them down. And then
how I like onions, is cooked way down, like soft.
Oh, yeah. So then, you put your onions in with some salt and pepper, maybe a little garlic powder if you're feeling crazy, and, cook them down, and then throw your meat in, and then you just cook your meat until it's the consistency that you like. Some people like it more crispy, and some people like a little underdone, whatever. And then you throw your cheese on top, you melt your cheese, and then you take your bun, like your roll, your cheesesteak roll, open it on top, and then just put your spatula underneath and just flip it.
Ooh.
So that everything
just
is in
that
there.
Action That action makes me hungry. By the way, big cheesesteak, like the big cheesesteak industry, their lobbyists have been working overtime. They're making big moves right now because not only has Arby's introduced a cheesesteak, Sonic has introduced a cheesesteak as well. And I think with Sonic, it's like, well, we already have these foot-long buns. Let's just throw some other stuff in it other than hot dogs. I've not had it from either place. I don't trust either place, although I trust Arby's a little more than Sonic on that. Yeah. But they're clearly trying to get the cheesesteak out there to the entire American public.
They're trying. And there's a lot of places out here that sell them. But what's hilarious to me is, like, first of all, they always call it Philly cheesesteak. It's like, Philly is not a qualifier. It's just a cheesesteak, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And for some reason, people seem to think that green pepper is a de facto thing on a cheesesteak, and it's not. Like, that's an add-on. Okay. That's a preferential add-on. Like,
okay, so what goes into an actual cheesesteak?
Well, you got your roll.
Yep.
And then your cheese is either American or provolone. Most people don't get Whiz. Whiz is kind of like a touristy thing. I'm an American girl, but a lot of people like
You're making me so happy with that, because my best friend thinks he's a cheesesteak expert, but he thinks all cheesesteaks have to come with the Cheese Whiz, and I'm not a big fan of that melt of that. I'm not a fan of liquid cheese.
I like liquid cheese on French fries. They're good on French fries.
That's a good, yes.
But like, I never in my life, I don't think, have I ever had a cheese. And I born and bred Philly, you know?
Yeah.
So it's either American or provolone. And then you either get no onions, fried onions, or raw onions. Pick one. And then if you want to, like, that is basic.
That's your basic.
So if you, but you can add whatever you want. You want to have mushrooms. You want to do it up as a fucking pizza steak. I love a pizza steak, which is meat, pizza sauce, mozzarella cheese. They put it in the broiler for like a second to melt the cheese. It is my favorite. But yeah, like, so you can do all that, but de facto, or just those things.
You realize what you just told me is guaranteed to put 20 pounds on me. Now that I know that pizza cheesesteak is an option.
Oh yeah, pizza steak is a thing, my friend.
Soon as I'm back to a full kitchen, I'm probably having a heart attack. Hopefully just a minor one. But yeah, I'm going there.
Just have a salad for lunch, you'll be fine.
Sure. I'll have a, you don't want to see the salads I create, because they're like 10%. I do like, okay, so I don't like lettuce, but I do like baby spinach in salads.
Okay.
But then that's going to be like the 10%. That's going to be your base. Then there's going to be like 20% egg, 20% bacon, and however many percent left is croutons. That's my salad.
I love croutons more than people really should.
It's one of the better breads out there.
I used it.
However it's created, I don't have a clue, but it's up there.
When I was a kid, I would just eat them out of the box as like a snack. My mom would yell at me. It was pretty bad. Or like when we would go to Pizza Hut when I was a kid, when they used to have like the salad bar, and I'd go and like make a salad. It was always like a mountain of salad, and like 60% of it was like crouton and maybe those little Chinese noodle things.
Yeah. Pizza Hut, when we were kids, was the hotness. Some of my best memories were at Pizza Hut with the red cups.
Yes.
The tabletop. Miss Pac-Man games. Yes. I never saw Pac-Man there. It's always Miss Pac-Man. The pizza tasted like 100 times better than it. I mean, it's probably just, it was my first pizza experiences, but in my mind, it was like 1,000 times better than pizza today. And I, like, generally we would go to Pizza Hut after going to a movie, which was like a big deal. Like, I still remember going to see The Land Before Time and then hitting Pizza Hut and getting a plush little foot. And I think that was the best moment of my life.
Did you do the book it thing where you read books and got the?
I won those contests and always got to go make my own personal pan pizza.
Yes. Yes. It was a delight. It was so exciting to just like know that like you could go and get your own pizza and it was going to be amazing. I would go with my bocce to the one by her house and like, she would just laugh at me because I would just get so excited.
Yeah.
So excited. Oh man.
Oh my God. Pizza Hut does not have that. I don't believe they have that cachet anymore, and they need to try and get it back.
I know that they've changed their logo and back to what it used to look like.
I saw that. That was a really interesting decision.
Yeah. They're really trying to like, kind of like play that nostalgia, because people do, everybody that I've talked to on this podcast and in real life about Pizza Hut, they always say the same thing with the red cups and the stained glass thing that would, like,
that was the only light in the whole place was just over the tables.
Yeah. And you so felt
everything like, was a little mysterious. You felt important, I think.
You did. You felt like you were in like a real restaurant, you know?
Yeah.
And they used to have that baller salad bar and the Pizza Hut by my house, there was a little one because I think most of them are just like takeout now. And there was a little one by my house and I was thinking about ordering and I drove by it the other day and I think it closed and I was actually kind of sad.
Oh, that's heartbreaking. That's heartbreaking.
Yeah.
And they still all like had the, not just the salad bar, but the pizza bar too before COVID. I hope that's still there after COVID.
I think that buffets are kind of a thing of the past, which would kill my dad if he wasn't already dead. Because he loved him a buffet. I would go out to dinner with him like once a week and we would, 9 times out of 10, he would pick me up, I'd get in the car and I'm like, where are we going? And he's like, Chinese buffet. And I'm like, yeah. So, I mean,
I would get along with that man. So my dad was born during the Great Depression. His his dad was a logger in the woods. I think like his childhood, like they would live like 5 miles away from the nearest person. So he didn't have a very, like, he didn't want to eat Italian food or Mexican food or any of this. But I remember taking his mom, my mama, to a buffet at a place called Master Chef back in the day. And that woman, Nicole, she surprised me. She showed up with a purse lined with paper towels that she filled to the brim with fried fish. Like, she would get an extra 2 pieces every time she'd go and start filling her purse. Like, great. Okay, I got respect for this, Mama.
That's great. My aunt used to go to Sizzler with my cousins and she would fill up her bag with rolls. Just fill it up. Fill it up. Do they have Sizzler down there?
There's Sizzlers around. Not a ton, but there's some around.
Sizzler was the bomb when I was a kid because you could like get a steak for like not a whole lot of money.
You know what? We had a very similar place down here when I was a kid called Bonanza. I don't know if y'all ever had Bonanza.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like Rustlers
Yep. And I just thought that place was the coolest when I was a kid. I just thought it was awesome because the only place I'd ever been where they would give you a steak knife when you sat down along with regular utensils. I'm like, oh, now we're talking. This is high class right here.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Oh, you a steak fan?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ribeye steak is maybe my favorite thing in the world.
Yes. Yes. But totally my favorite steak. Hands down, like, favorite steak.
To me, ordering, like, I don't know, New York strip or all these other things, in my mind, you might as well just be ordering everything well done because you're not getting the flavor that you're getting in a marbled ribeye. When you're ordering a steak with no marbling at all, there's no way it's going to reach the flavor. It doesn't have the flavor potential of a ribeye.
Yes, yes, yes. It's the marbling. It's all about the fat. The fat is the flavor. Like,
exactly right.
And you can't fuck up a ribeye. You can walk into an Outback Steakhouse or you can walk into like a 5-star restaurant and they are not going to fuck it up because you can't. You just can't do it.
It's going to be good. It may not be great, but it's going to be good. And you can't say that, I don't believe, of any other cut of meat out there.
Yeah. When I took my mom to Disney World years ago for her birthday and we ate, there's a steakhouse in the Canada part of Epcot. Mm-hmm. And I ate this 27-ounce bone-in ribeye.
And it was, that's impressive. That's impressive.
Thank you. I was very uncomfortable the rest of the night, but it was worth every minute.
I was hanging out with my friend Andrew, I don't know, 7 or 8 years ago, and we went to the steakhouse, and they had like a brand new steak on the menu. I think it was 25 ounces. And he's like, if you think you can eat that, and a roll and all the sides, I'll pay for it. And I'm like, oh, you're on. And I ate the whole steak. I ate my fries. I ate a baked potato. I ate the rolls. And then we continued to hang out. But everywhere we went, like, I had to sit down for most of it.
Yeah.
Like, I was out of commission for the rest of the night, but I got my free steak and it hurt. Like, it absolutely hurt to accomplish that. but I was not going to say no to that challenge ever.
Yeah, no, I high five on that. Yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally.
There's one in Texas, and I think it's West Texas, where it's like, I don't know, 72-ounce steak or something.
72-ounce steak, all of the sides, and a dessert, and the salad. And if you do all of it, you eat for free, and I think they give you a t-shirt.
I would like to try that, but I don't think I'm man enough for it. Like, I don't think I can do that. I would give it my best. Like, maybe if I prepared like a pro, like expanding my stomach with lettuce or something. I don't eat that lettuce, though.
I think you'd have to, like, well, how those guys train is they drink a lot of water. And they use the water to expand their stomachs. So I think, like, you'd have to really kind of, like, prep for that. But, like, it's doable.
And let's be fair. If I really expanded my stomach, I'd have to get new clothes just for the day. Just for the day, I'd have to go up a size.
Listen, it's a day for sweatpants. Let's just put it that way. That's a sweatpants day.
Yeah.
I've only won two eating contests.
Ooh.
Well, not really a contest. Well, the one was a contest. But there used to be a chain of hamburger places called Cheeseburger Cheeseburger.
Okay.
They had a thing where if you ate their 5-pound burger, they took your picture and they put it on the wall. And I did it. They take your picture with like a stuffed cheeseburger. So I'm just like, yeah. And then
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Yes. We had a cheeseburger in Shreveport, Louisiana for a little while. And I did something to get my picture on the wall, but I don't think it was 5 pounds. I think it was smaller than that.
It was substantial though.
I think it was probably three. It was a big burger.
Yeah.
It was a big burger.
Yeah. Yeah, my friend was just like, are you done? I want to leave. And I'm like, I'm eating a giant burger here. You can relax.
I'm such a dummy that once you told that story, I'm like, what was the place where I did something like that? Like, oh, wait, it was called Cheeburger Cheeburger.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what it was.
And then the other thing I did was me and my friends, for 2 years in a row, we did this thing called the Vegan Comedy Wing Bowl.
Okay.
And what we did was everybody had to like dress up as a character. Mm-hmm. And it was like a vegan wing eating contest. But then we also had like people doing talent portions and everybody's what? In. Huh?
What was your character though? What was your character?
Carol, the crazy Kenzo mom. So okay. I was just like a white trash mom, you know, blacked out a couple teeth.
Sounds great.
It was pretty great. There's hilarious pictures. I'll send you some pictures of me in my costume. But sweet. I won 2 years in a row. We only did
really?
2 years, wow. And I was the winner. And my friend's wife, my friend Larry's wife, Gretchen, is an art teacher for like a little kid art teacher. So she made belts, and I had two belts, but I had to get rid of them when I moved. And it's one thing I think that I don't have anymore that I really regret getting rid of when I moved.
Like championship belts?
Yes.
Oh my God, that's heartbreaking. You don't have those anymore.
I know, it really makes me sad.
How many wings did you have to eat to win the competition? Do you remember that?
I wasn't counting, but it was like a plate and a half. It was
wow.
Yeah, and let me tell you a little something about vegan wings. They're made of seitan, which is completely just gluten. And whether you're gluten sensitive or not, that does a number on your system. And did I shit my pants? I came very, very close. Real close.
So, like when you said Satan, I thought, is she just putting a little extra emphasis on Satan? No. Because that's what it sounds like.
Well, that's what it felt like going through my system, my friend.
I bet it did.
Yeah.
I bet it did.
I was driving my friend Alejandro home. Okay. I'm in my costume. Okay. He's in full drag. Okay. We're driving in my 97 Civic hatchback. Up now Delaware Avenue. It is snowing. Okay. This car is not made for the snow. I am desperately trying to get to his house so I don't shit my pants. And I am beating on the steering wheel, you know, just like, I'm not going to make it. And he's screaming at the side of my face, you can do it. We can get there. I'm like, I don't think I can. And he's like, we will never speak of this again. And I was like, yes, we will. Cause this is a great story.
We've all been there. We may be there right now. What's happening over here?
Ooh, sorry, I just got a little too excited. There you go.
Bringing back those satanic wings.
I mean, well, the first year we did it, the place the place said that they didn't know that we were doing it, so they weren't ready. So when they weren't, when you may have a seitan wing, you really have to fry it. And if you fry it real good, it tastes like chicken. But if you don't, it tastes like marshmallows. So I'm stuffing buffalo sauce covered marshmallows into my mouth.
That sounds so horrible.
Try not to choke.
That sounds terrible.
Try not to choke. Just it was better the second year. But
When you had actual chicken tasting wings.
Yeah, at least texture wise. Yeah. It was.
I like how this standard is slowly lowering. Like if you fry them just right, they taste like chicken. And then maybe a little texture wise.
It's
going down.
I have a friend, my friend Rachel has a place in Philly, Miss Rachel's Pantry. It's a vegan restaurant. And she makes really good, believe it or not, seitan buffalo chicken sandwich.
Okay.
And it really does taste like chicken. But she bakes
them. When I say I've never had vegan food, I understand that a lot of food is vegan, but I've never had like vegan substitute food, but I trust there's a lot of things out there like the burger they have at Impossible Burger, things like that, that are good replacements. I do need to try those at some point.
Yeah. They're okay. They're not any healthier than if you walk into a Burger King and you get their Impossible Whopper, which I've had and it's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's still fast food and it's still not really any healthier than like a regular Whopper. People just don't eat meat. And I was like, well, if you're already in the fuck of Burger King, you might as well just eat the meat, you know?
Yeah. It's not like those animals aren't being saved. They're already dead and sliced up. Yeah. They're there.
Yeah.
It's too late for them.
And don't fool yourself. A cow would just as soon as eat you, you know? So.
Oh, for hungry enough cow. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. But have you had a Whataburger in Texas?
I love Whataburger.
Whataburger.
We've got some Whataburgers here in Louisiana.
Really?
Yeah. Again, their fries are my least favorite part of the meal there, but they're not bad. I think they're better generally than In-N-Out's fries, but their burgers are phenomenal.
Their burgers are amazing. Yeah.
And I think they really, for years, you had the In-N-Out versus Five Guys debate. And I think it was a real shame that Whataburger for years got left out of that conversation.
I wish Whataburger was here, honestly, but I'm kind of glad it's not because I'd be a lot fatter. One of the things
I love about Las Vegas, and my God, is this about to be the fattest statement I've ever made in my life, is that they kind of have every fast food you can imagine. Like they've got the best places in Louisiana. They've got In-N-Out, they've got Five Guys, they've got Fatburger. I think the best Louisiana fast food place isn't Popeyes. It's called Raising Cane's. They're all over America, but not quite everywhere yet. And they're all in Las Vegas. I think somebody could do an amazing tour of the best fast food in America just in Vegas. And I guarantee you there's a Whataburger there. I don't know there is, but I'm pretty sure there is one.
Wow.
I'm about to look that up, I think. Yeah. They've got every region's best place.
Well, what I love about Whataburger, of course, is the spicy ketchup.
Oh, yeah. Which you can, I don't know if you can get it there, but you can get it here in stores. You can get the bottles of spicy ketchup.
Yeah, I know you can order it from the website. I don't think they sell it in the stores here yet, though.
I'll tell you what's also recently popped up in all the stores here is all the Chick-fil-A sauces you can get in bottles now.
Really?
Yeah, in Walmart here, they'll have an entire end section that is just all the Chick-fil-A sauces in bottles.
Oh, people look at me like I'm funny, but I love the Hawaiian sauce.
Yeah. I've never tried the Hawaiian sauce I don't even know where you're, are you talking about from Chick-fil-A?
Yes.
Pump it up. Come on, little girl. I've never tried it. I'm going to have to, there's literally, again, it's right outside my window. There's Chick-fil-A. I'll have to try that tomorrow. I'm going to get something what should I get with Hawaiian sauce on it?
I just get the nuggets.
Okay. I'll get the nuggets then.
Yeah.
At Louisiana Tech, back in the day, the only fast food place on campus was Chick-fil-A that we could use our meal cards at. It was awesome, but I got so burned out on Chick-fil-A. I don't think I went for 8 years afterwards. A very, very long time before I returned to Chick-fil-A because we had it every day, that's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. It was a lot of Chick-fil-A.
Well, I used to work in this office, and it was in this big this big building in Philly called Liberty One. And so like there, it's like shops and stuff for the first two floors, and then it's office stuff. So they had like a big food court, but the food court kind of sucked. And the only thing that was worth going to was the Chick-fil-A. And there was always a huge like bubble of people just standing on the side waiting for their food, desperately holding on to their receipts, waiting to hear their numbers. And yeah.
Okay, I've got a food question for you.
Yeah.
You're back in time when everybody's at the mall. The food courts are amazing. What is your favorite food court place to eat?
Oh, shit. Okay. Well, I got to get an Orange Julius, first of all, because I love the Orange Julius. What is my favorite thing at the food court?
Apparently, Orange Julius is now owned by Dairy Queen, or else they have a deal, because every Dairy Queen has Orange Julius now.
Oh, well, maybe they're doing something.
Mine was Corn Dog 7, because it was the only time you could get a great corn dog outside of, like, the county fair.
All right. I am not a corn dog fan.
Really?
Yes.
Such a shame.
And it's weird because I like pancakes.
Yeah.
And I like hot dogs. But there's just something about a corn dog where I'm just kind of like, eh.
You're out.
I'm out. Yeah. I just get that. I don't know. I used to, I know this sounds stupid, but I love Salad Works.
Really? What's your go-to salad at Salad Works?
We used to like to get the niçoise, or just to build your own.
What's a niçoise?
It's got like tuna and then like pasta in it. It's not real healthy.
Okay. I can do that.
Yeah.
I like tuna. I like pasta.
Yeah. I always like food court pizza is usually pretty good.
Okay.
Because I grew up going to the Cherry Hill Mall in New Jersey, and that food court was like my favorite. You know what they used to have when I was in high school? We used to get real high and go to the mall and get soup in these bread bowls.
Ooh, that sounds good.
Yeah. And like,
I'll have you know, I just Googled Cherry Hill Mall, New Jersey. Oh. I'm gonna see if there's an old picture of the food court. Okay, come on. Man.
Yeah, they totally remodeled that mall and they moved the food court, and I didn't know that. And when I went there, I was like, "Where's the food court?"
They couldn't have got rid of the food court.
You know what I love to get to? I love to go to Annie Ann's and get the pretzel dogs. You know, the hot dog wrapped in the pretzel,
which is almost a corn dog. It's almost there. I was never a big pretzel guy, but I think it's because I wasn't exposed at a young age to like soft pretzels. Like all I knew was hard pretzels. And so I would see like people on like Seinfeld getting these giant pretzels. I'm like, what's even happening right here?
Listen, you need to experience the Philly soft pretzel. The Philly soft pretzel is a amazing culinary experience.
Ooh.
It's
You're selling this. You're selling this well.
Especially when they're still warm, because they're not like you see on Seinfeld, like the pretzels are like circular. They're like big dinner plates. That's Philly soft pretzels are like are rectangular.
Okay.
And they come in a row, and some people like a center one and some people like the end ones and some people like them well done and some people don't. And some people like them with extra salt and some people will brush their salt off. And
lots of options.
Yeah. And how you get indoctrinated with this is in schools, you know, you have to have your juice and what they call juice and pretzel money. So like on like Mondays, you come in with like $3, and then every day for recess, you get a little thing of juice and a pretzel. And you just grow up eating juice and pretzel for recess every day for 12 years of school, for eight years of grade school. And then like,
that is pure pretzel indoctrination. Yeah. But I'm kind of jealous because we didn't have anything like that we just got every day.
Yeah, it actually blew my mind when I was a kid when I realized that soft pretzels were only something you got in Philly. And I was like, well, what do kids eat at recess? And my mom was like, I don't know. They bring a snack from home. And I'm like,
yeah, wow. Exactly.
Just blew my little mind.
You grew up in a magical place, magical place. And also one thing you said is like you have to have them real hot. And the time when I learned that anything breaded, it like the heat is so important, is the first time I went into a Krispy Kreme place, and the line was so long. It had just opened. I was visiting friends in Charlotte, and the line was so long. There was somebody who was just handing us like just regular glazed donuts off of the little line. And I'd never had like a hot donut.
Yeah.
And it was life changing. It was so amazing.
Yeah.
It didn't even taste like what a donut tasted like to me, because it would like melt in your mouth.
Yeah. A hot donut is a thing of beauty. And like, I love donuts, but I can't eat them too much because they just knock me right out.
I am with all sweets. Like, I don't eat them very often, but if I'm going to eat them, I'm going to eat them right before bed because I need to sleep anyway. Like, that's legit. Like, I'm not eating a sweet before like 11 p.m.
Well, are you a cake or a pie guy?
Pie.
Pie?
Yeah, I think pie is superior.
What kind of pie?
Blueberry pie. Blueberry pie.
I think we're soulmates.
Like, I once craved blueberry pie for 10 years because I didn't have anybody that knew how to make a blueberry pie. And I would go like literally every couple months for like years. Like, I'd go to the Walmart frozen food section because I can cook, but I can't bake. I can't make any, like, I can't make any sweets inside the oven. I've always been terrible at that. And I would always look, and there was never blueberry pie. It was always like apple and razzleberry, which I swear to God is not the name of an actual berry. Some Walmart BS. And like, when I finally got a blueberry pie, it was just like, I was on a diet at the time, and every cheat day I would make an entire blueberry pie. I finally figured out how to make it. And then I would feel like I was going to die for a couple days, but it was worth it.
Blueberries are really good for you, though, so it's all good.
Yeah, and I don't even know why. I know there's like things in them that aren't in anything else, but like on the diet, I would crave them even more, even though when I'm not on the diet, I wasn't getting them on a regular basis. My body really wanted blueberries, like bad.
Wow. Maybe they needed antioxidants or something, you know?
Maybe so. When I was a kid, my mom made these little, they're almost like sandwiches. Like, it was basically you would put out the pie crust, you'd put the blueberry stuff in it, and then fold it and then bake it like that. Exactly, a blueberry popover. And those were amazing.
Oh, that's awesome. I still love a Pop-Tart. I had to talk myself out of buying a box of Pop-Tarts at the store today.
Yeah.
Like, no, you don't need any Pop-Tarts. And like...
A couple days ago, like, I was, because I'm living out of hotels now because of the hurricanes, I went to Walmart and like a Walmart neighborhood market, and I was picking up food, and like, I knew I didn't need any sweets, but I kept passing these blueberry muffins, and I ended up getting the pack of blueberry muffins, and my God, they were good.
I have a recipe for like a blueberry crumble that I want to make.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm in on that. And I'll send you a self-addressed stamped envelope.
Well, I also went through like a whole like canning jag when I lived in Philly. A friend of mine, Marissa McMurray, I can't speak.
Been into canning lately.
Yeah. Yeah. It was like a thing I was into. I have a friend, Marissa McClellan, and she writes canning cookbooks, and she's got Food in Jars, it's called. And, So when her first cookbook came out, I bought it and I started making all the different jams because I love jam, and it's a sickness. So like, everybody got a lot of jam for Christmas that year. It was,
there was a number of years where I was very suspicious of jams because I only really grew up with jelly, and I'm like, I don't trust this. Like, this is a jelly alternative, but I'm clearly team jelly. So I don't trust jams. When I finally tried them, it's like, okay, I'm down with jams.
You're like, what was I thinking all of these years?
I was very wary though. They weren't like big jam wasn't getting me on their side, but now they got me.
Oh man. So you do a lot of talking about wrestling, right?
I do.
That's cool. What do you think about that new league?
AEW.
Yeah.
AEW is everything to me. It is everything to me because I have a deep, deep hatred of the WWE. And I'll tell you, like, I grew up Southern wrestling, WCW, the NWA, and they were more, I don't know, they were always like more reality based to me than the WWE. The WWE, everything was larger than life. It was more cartoonish. And eventually they put WCW out of business. They bought them. They kind of buried everybody that came over with them.
Yeah.
And And then AEW happened because a guy that I've worked for, Dave Meltzer of the Wrestling Observer, basically made a tweet saying he didn't think Ring of Honor, which is an indie company, or the Young Bucks could sell out a 10,000 seat arena. And so they're like, okay, bet. And they did it. And then Tony Khan, who is a legit billionaire, who is probably a bigger wrestling fan than anybody I've ever met. I didn't think you got to be a bigger wrestling fan than me as a kid. But this guy is like, he is like a little kid who loves wrestling, who just happens to have many billions of dollars. He got together with them and started AEW. And it's the first time in probably 20 years where the actual wrestlers themselves, they get, like, they determine what character they're going to play. They're not given in the WWE, they're given a script. And so everybody kind of sounds the same. But in AEW, they're like, okay, these are the points you need to get over. Get out there and do it. So everybody's kind of in charge of their own destiny there.
Cool.
And I love that. It's wrestling for wrestling fans by wrestling fans. And all of the management are pro wrestlers. And so they're able to kind of fix all of the problems that there have been in wrestling over the years. And I am like, anything they put out, like, they just put out a pretty not good, like, casino, like, iPhone app yesterday. But I'm like, I downloaded it for like minute number one to support them. But it's really not good. As in, like, give me slot machines based on your wrestlers. It's just regular slot machines.
Oh.
Like, come on, man. Well, give me an Orange Cassidy slot machine where you're trying to get oranges. Come on.
A friend of mine is actually a referee for AEW.
Bryce Ribsburg.
Yeah.
He is. That's something else I like, is like, you know who the referees are in AEW. People like Bryce, and in WWE, you never really know anybody. I don't know. Like, Aubrey Edwards is one of the referees, and she helps host the podcast, and like, they get to have their own personalities. And I love that.
That's
and
awesome.
I'd known Bryce from a lot of indie wrestling that I had watched.
And I was
so excited when I saw, like, the Young Bucks, who are the executive vice presidents, they were going around the country surprising people like Bryce with these contracts to be on national TV. And I freaking loved that.
I've never met anybody that was so, he just did it because he loved it, you know? Yeah.
Like, there's just not traveling money around there's
no levels. Yeah, there's no money in that. He just did it because, like, it was like a thing that he loved, and now it's paying off for him, and I could not be happier.
Exactly. And there's so many stories like that in AEW, and it's one of the reasons I genuinely love that company. Like, that's they awesome. Care about the wrestlers, they care about all the employees, and it's great to see that in something that I grew up loving. And then for over a decade, there was nothing there to love with the WWE. They treated people poorly, they covered up murders, things like, there's a lot of bad things over the years.
Vince McMahon is not a great person.
he is a legit elderly lunatic. He is a crazy person, just an absolute crazy person who just happens to be in charge of a $1 billion company. And it's so exciting that somebody young, who is an actual, like, the fact that he made his billions off of wrestling and was so embarrassed because he didn't like wrestling and he didn't like wrestling fans that he banned the word wrestling. That's why they call it sports entertainment. You could not say wrestling. You couldn't say championship belt. You would get fired for saying pro wrestling on television by Vince McMahon. Like, that's why he kept trying to do things like the XFL and the World Bodybuilding Federation, because he doesn't even see wrestling as a legitimate thing. And it's great that there's now a competing company where they actually love wrestling for wrestling.
Like, that's so crazy to me, because, like, even if like, you're not a wrestling fan per se, if you own the company and you're making $1 billion, like,
yeah,
get over it.
Exactly. Like, I would be all in. I don't know anything about homes or gardens, but I'm all in on it when I'm working for HGTV and they're paying me.
Sure.
Like, yeah, let's talk about pergolas, which, by the way, I'm very anti-pergola.
Why is that?
Do you know what a pergola is?
I do.
It is basically, so it's an outdoor structure, for anybody that doesn't know, where the roof is just slats of wood. And it's like you paid somebody to make you a nice porch so you can sit outside when it's raining, but they just got tired and went home halfway through. Give me a freaking break. In Louisiana, where it rains like 300 days a year, A pergola is straight garbage. I'm sure there are nice areas. It doesn't keep you out of the sun. It doesn't keep rain off you. What does it do? It gives you slanted shadows on your arms if you stay out long enough, so you're looking like a candy cane. Come on now.
I mean, yeah, I agree with all those things. I mean, I guess you could do like ivy and stuff.
Yeah. Or you could just finish the roof.
Yeah, you could.
And be done day one instead of 5 years into growing your ivy. That's the biggest thing I've taken from my time working with HGTV. I don't trust people who are super into pergolas.
Are there people who are super into pergolas?
I think there are a lot of middle-aged women who are really into pergolas. I'm sure there's a lot of men of all ages as well.
Huh.
But in my experience, middle-aged housewives just are all about their pergolas.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. I don't really see too much of that out here. Outdoor space is, unless you got money for a yard, outdoor space is kind of not really a thing.
It's not even a thing you have to worry about.
No.
It's kind of like that. It's kind of like the HGTV meme of like this couple is on a show and it's like I raise iguanas. My husband just got a PPE check. Our budget's $5 million.
Yeah.
I don't like those kind of shows. I can't get into. That's why I really like when it comes to like, if you're going to watch something on HGTV, if I have to watch something on it, I like, there's a couple of shows, Fixer Upper, which is set in Texas, which now they have their own network on Magnolia Network.
Right.
And then Hometown is set in Mississippi, where like sometimes somebody's budget is $60,000 and they get a full sized home for it. That's more like, that's more something I can get into because that seems like realistic for me.
Yeah,
I'm never going to have $500,000 for a home. In fact, often on the shows, when I was doing watch parties, I would straight up say, if I had a budget of $500,000, none of you people would ever see me again. I'm in Costa Rica. I'm not seeing anybody ever again if I have $500,000.
Yeah, if I had 500 grand, I could almost buy a house here.
or go live like a king in South America, which seriously. I don't even like the humidity, but I know I could live like a king.
Well, I mean, I guess
human king.
You could buy something out here, just like not in LA proper. Like if you like further out into the valley or like outside of the city limits, like outside of LA, all the prices drop significantly. So in fact, like even if you go down to like my friend Kathy lives in Long Beach, which is like Long Beach is actually in LA, which I didn't realize, but it's like the very southern tip of LA.
The southern tip, yeah.
Yeah. And like you can buy a house there for a couple hundred grand. And you get like a yard. Like her house is great. She's got this cute little 2-bedroom house. You know, she's got a big ass kitchen and a nice yard and a detached garage. And like,
I think that's part of the whole people moving from LA to Texas thing. Uh-huh. Because in Dallas, Houston, Austin, or anywhere in Texas, for $300,000, you can get a mansion. You can get like 5 or 10 acres in a mansion with like 10 bedrooms for $300,000.
But what's around? Like, what can you do?
I don't know.
Like, that's
being like, go hunt deer.
Yeah.
I don't know. Joe Rogan's starting a comedy club in Austin. There'll be that.
You know what I love about the whole Joe Rogan moving to Austin thing is that like, he's like, I want the freedom. I want the freedom. And I'm like, and the lack of personal income tax doesn't play into that after you just got that huge check. Like, come
exactly.
on. Are we all dumb? Yeah. Like, just say you don't want to pay the taxes.
Yeah.
Like,
saving an extra 15 to 20 million, I don't think hurt that decision at all.
Exactly. A lot of comics are moving to Austin. It's weird because Austin has a really nice.
Also, Also Nashville. Like Theo Vaughn moved to Nashville, and I don't think he's the only one.
Yeah, my friend Wolf is like, there too.
Mm-hmm. There you go. I think Austin and Nashville are, I think, like I was traveling to Nashville a lot in 2019 because every episode of the TV show Haunted Live that I was on, we were going to places within 60 miles of Nashville because the ghost hunting team for the show was from that area. And every time I would go, it's like there are new buildings going up every week. I just think those are two of the fastest growing cities in the South. And I think that's the place to be for people right now.
There are two cities that are trying to get a Major League Baseball team, Nashville and Portland. And
really?
Yeah. And I think that because Portland is, it's right there, you know?
Yeah.
And and Nashville is really trying to get one. They have a, I think they have a Major League Soccer team, you know, and
I think that I bet Nashville is going to get it before Portland, probably just due to size. I think Portland's smaller, right?
Well, they do have a AAA team.
Okay.
So they and they seem to support it fine. So, okay. And then you also have, you would have that built-in rivalry with Seattle and then also that,
yeah.
Oakland. So, yeah. So that
they would have more natural rivalries because like Nashville would have the Braves as like a natural rival, but I think that's about it really in that area. I mean, Florida teams.
I mean, how far, I guess like Ohio, I guess. Right.
I guess. I don't even know how close that is.
I don't know. But I have a feeling that Tampa Bay is going to move to one of those cities because nobody goes to those games. See that.
No, nobody. And the zero people.
And the Trop is just not a great place to play. So,
right.
Or whatever they're calling it now, whatever that the name of their weird ass stadium is where like you hit a ball and it bounces off pipes.
All of my stadium name like knowledge is stuck in like the mid to late 90s because that's when I was a rabid Atlanta Braves fan. Like I can still talk about the bench players from that Braves team while I don't know anything about them today. Like I watched when they made the playoffs, I think last year I was watching. And then of course it was very similar to my love for them in the 90s where they would always get just to the World Series or make it, but always break your heart.
What about that World Series, the Braves Twins World Series?
Oh my God. That one was awesome.
I remember staying up late.
Yes, absolutely. Like my dad was letting me stay up late on like school nights.
Yep.
And the Twins had like, I mean, Kirby Puckett. Like I remember all these great Twins where that's where I learned how great they were was them beating my team.
Yeah. Well, as a Philadelphia native, I hate the Braves.
Oh, you guys used to torment the Braves. Yeah. The Lenny Dykstra era, the Ron Kruk era, y'all had a cast of characters who were awesome.
Yeah. John Kruk was like the last of the old school baseball players.
I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah.
I love John Kruk so much.
John Kruk is just like awesome. And he does sometimes like on-air stuff. And it's
Oh,
just,
really?
Yeah.
I need to get on YouTube. I want to see John Kruk like car commercials.
I think he was doing stuff for the MLB channel, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's good for him.
Yeah. Well, when I took my mom to Florida, when we were in the Canada part, like you go in and you can watch like a little movie about Canada. And they show that Joe Carter home run, the 93.
The Blue Jays. Heart.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And when that happened, I very loudly booed it. and my mom was like, really? And I was like, I can't not. What do you want me to do?
No, those things we're going to carry to our graves. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a thing. I mean, just like Chase Utley. I love Chase Utley. Chase Utley is my, have I introduced you to my Lord and Savior, Chase Utley? Like that 08 World Series team, like all of those guys, you know, Jimmy and Chooch and Chase and Shane Victorino and all of those guys, you know, like I love them. They're just they're up there for me.
I'll never forget Sid Bream, who like made that run to get the Braves into the World Series. I'll never forget that guy, who I think that's the only thing he ever accomplished was to run really poorly and slide into home just in time.
I have many, many Sid Bream Pittsburgh Pirate baseball cards.
Oh God, yeah. It was it was Philly and the Pirates were to me at that time the Braves' main rivals. Back to the Barry Bonds Pirates, because years it was one of those two that were keeping them out of the World Series every year.
Yeah, the Pirates were always so funny back then because they were just good enough to like be spoilers, but never good enough to really do anything.
Yeah, and that was what was so frustrating. It was so frustrating. That's back when like Greg Maddux would have like a 1.5 ERA and he would lose games because the Braves couldn't score more than 1.5 runs.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that was frustrating.
Yeah, yeah.
That was frustrating.
Well, when you have Steve Carlton as your pitcher and the guys can't hit the damn ball and you're like, he's like pitching a shutout. Like, just hit the ball. Hit the ball. Yeah. Oh,
just
yeah.
Once, yeah. Just once.
Yeah.
Oh my God. Like not same sound, situation.
Not to sound like an old fogey, but like, I mean,
I'm an old fogey.
When I was a kid, it was like the Phillies just played like the Reds and the Pirates a lot, and mm-hmm. play the Braves a lot. You know, they play the Mets, and that was like all the teams that they would play most of the time. And then yeah. occasionally they would play the Dodgers like twice a year. You know, they play the Giants twice a year, and it was like a big deal. And now it's like, it's just weird when they play like the Mariners, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember when they first started talking about doing that. And I was like, cross like ALNL.
Yeah.
That's what you're. Yeah. And I was like, this is not okay. This is not how it's done.
Yeah.
I was very much that. And I think you get that more in baseball than in other sports, like that. That old school purist attitude.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And there were way less teams. Like there was no.
Yeah.
I think the Marlins became a team when I was in like eighth or ninth grade.
Yeah, same for me. I was in high school when it was the Marlins and the Diamondbacks.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Uh huh. And I was just like, this is weird. Florida baseball? I don't know. You know, that
this doesn't sound right.
No, it's just like hockey in Arizona. Just no.
Yeah. It's crazy. It's crazy to see how into like the fan base of like the Dallas Stars and the Nashville team, like who saw that coming?
Not me. When they were like the Minnesota North Stars were moving to Dallas. And I was like, why?
What,
like,
moving where?
Yeah.
What?
To Texas hockey in Texas.
Yeah. And that might've been that rink might've been the first ice skating rink in Texas. Although I did actually ice skate in Houston in junior high, but still maybe the second ice skating rink in Texas.
Yeah. My friend Adam Ferberg, he is from Dallas and he is a huge Dallas Stars fan. And I'm just like, that's so crazy. But he's also a Cowboys fan. So, you know, it's no accounting.
No.
The fact that Jerry Jones still walks the planet is a.
It was so, oh my God. No, it was, what was the name of the classic Dallas Cowboys coach? Not Barry Switzer. Jimmy Johnson.
Oof. Yeah.
I used to be a hardcore Survivor fan.
Okay.
And then he popped up on a season of Survivor. He didn't make it long though, because there was another old like buddy duddy guy named Jimmy who like felt threatened by him and turned everybody in the and on the tribe against him. Like he's a millionaire already. We can't let him get anywhere near the finals. And that was like, that was blowing my mind back then.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I hate the Cowboys with a burning man passion. In Philly, there's a saying that if you're from Philly and you are a Dallas Cowboys fan, it is a sign of bad parenting.
Yeah. No, that's a serious issue here because there are a lot of people in Northwest Louisiana, which is the Shreveport area. So I think the third or fourth biggest city in the state. Uh-huh. Who are Cowboys fans because Dallas is right down I-20 and not Saints fans. And that's not okay. That's not cool.
No.
And there were years where the TV networks up there would play Cowboys games instead of Saints games. And that talk about breeding some hatred between the northern part of the state and the southern part of the state. That'll do it.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you I don't think trust Cowboys fans.
You think Breeze is going to retire?
A couple of days ago, I would have said yes, but now there's all these reports of him doing these hardcore workouts because, like, the big news in New Orleans sports this week was that Russell Wilson said he didn't want to be traded, but if he were traded, there are four teams he was willing to go to, and one was the Saints. And the deal supposedly would be three first-round draft picks and possibly wide receiver Michael Thomas for Russell Wilson. And everybody's losing their minds because this is one of the best. Like, how often are the Saints going to have a chance to have one of the best quarterbacks in football following up one of the best quarterbacks in football? And so that's been all of Sports Talk Radio all week. But now we're hearing Drew Brees is out doing these crazy workouts like he's never done before. And so now I'm wondering.
Well,
and the thing is, he can't make – like, he is still a great quarterback, but he can't make it through a full season. The last 2 years – he's been out, I think, five games 1 year, four games the next year, which the Saints won like seven of those nine games, which tells you how good the Saints are.
Yeah, Teddy played pretty good, though.
He did. He really did. And I actually, like if Drew does retire and we don't get Russell Wilson, I don't mind Jameis Winston. Actually, I think he could be a really good quarterback, and I don't think he has the personal problems that a lot of people think, because I actually heard some background on the stealing issue he had in college.
Yeah,
from one of the top. Yeah. It's basically, they were saying like these, like this, the supermarket where he stole the crab legs from,
right,
was basically, there were boosters and all the kids could go in and get free stuff until somebody caught it. And then they had to throw him under the bus, or the entire program would have got hurt bad by these boosters giving all the free food to the kids. I got that from one of the top Tampa Bay radio, sports talk radio guys at a UFC I was at. And and I thought he came in, he took the dive for the team. He comes into the pros with a really bad rap. And so I kind of am rooting for the guy.
Well, he's done a few other things, but it seems like he has grown up and straightened himself out. And he didn't play all that bad in Tampa. And,
no.
You know.
And didn't he get, I may be wrong on this, and it might have been a different guy, but I believe he talked about how he'd had really bad eyesight and he just got LASIK or something. Oh. And they were saying like that was going to probably make him a way better quarterback.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, I didn't hear anything about that.
It might be a different guy, but I think it was Jameis Winston.
You would think those guys would stay on top of that, you know?
You would think when you go into the NFL, if you're the quarterback, they would test your eyes and make sure you've got the best eyesight available.
Well, what I find interesting about the NFL these days is I think they're starting to move away from drafting a quarterback right out of college and just putting him right in the line of fire.
Yeah.
I think they're finally starting to move away from that.
outside of Cleveland.
And the Jets.
Yeah.
The Jets anybody, but you know.
I mean, they threw, I can't believe I can't remember his name, the LSU quarterback. We took him to the national title like a year ago. Hold on.
In Cleveland?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wasn't it Cleveland or was it Cincinnati?
Oh, Joe
Burrow. Ohio teams mix it. Joe Burrow. They just threw him out to the Lions and had him get his knee destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a shame. I feel bad for guys like that. That's a shame.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons Russell Wilson wants to come to the Saints, is because he takes so much damage with their poor offensive line. And the Saints have one of the best offensive lines in football. And I believe he thinks he can play probably 4 or 5 more years if he was a Saint with that offensive line than he could almost anywhere else.
Well, I'll tell you what, I bet the guys who run the Rams are kicking themselves right now, because instead of getting Matt Stafford, they could have probably got him.
Yeah, absolutely. Hmm. A lot of people, that's been the big talk here in New Orleans, is like, where do we go after Drew? Because nobody wants to go to an average quarterback anymore, you know, after having Drew Brees for, I guess, the better part of a decade.
Yeah.
And Matt Stafford always came into the conversation there. And there was a lot of heat, like callers to the radio station that I do my shows on, like just didn't want Matt Stafford. And then the guys on the station are just like, Matt's a pretty good quarterback. Like if he's with a really good team, but he's not been with the best teams for a very long time.
No, Detroit is just, it's a mess.
Detroit is wasted talent forever. They would draft number one, like first round pick wide receivers after first round wide receivers, and they'd just be wasted. Nothing built around them.
They fired Matt Patricia, right?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, that guy's trash.
Absolutely.
But, football. Huh?
Think of how bad you have to be, like generationally, for Barry Sanders to retire rather than keep playing in his prime.
Yeah.
He's like, I either trade me or I'm retiring. And they're like, you better retire then. And he did.
That's a shame. It's a shame.
It's a real
really
shame.
Good team. I mean, he was Hall of Famer anyway, but like
on an average team, he could have taken him to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, absolutely.
And just, that hurt back in the day. Yeah. I mean, I'm still thinking about it.
Well, you know, I'm dealing with the whole Eagles Carson Wentz thing, which has just been a huge mess. And I've heard that he is uncoachable, that, he, you know,
doesn't one of those, sound right.
Well, it's,
or is he?
Well, I think the deal, this is what I've sort of put together from all the pieces that I've read, is that, you know, they drafted him and they built him up to be like, you're our number one. And he played really well. And he did play really well for a while there until he got hurt. And it doesn't seem like he ever really came back from getting hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And they build him up so much that he just was just, you know, I'm going to have this job forever. Like, this is my job, period. And then when they, you know, you have to draft another quarterback at some point.
You have to, yeah.
Especially because he's so injury prone. So they drafted Hurts and they let him play because, I mean, Wentz stunk this year. He was terrible. When Chris Collinsworth, bozo number two in that booth, is like, you don't do that. Like, that's stuff that you don't even do in college, like in high school, like throwing from like all the way across the field, like from hash mark to hash mark.
Just making terrible choices.
Just what are you doing, dude? And, you know, like, what are you supposed to do? Just let them keep fucking up? You know, you put the other kid in and slowly now stories are coming out where he didn't want to listen to the quarterback's coach, didn't want to listen. Like, he knew what he was doing. And when you compare that to the kid up in Buffalo,
yeah,
it was like, how can I be better? What can we do for me to get better? Like, showing up early, staying late, working with your dudes on the off season. Like, and you're like, well, why keep him? You know?
Yeah. No, absolutely. Can you imagine what a guy like him, like him goes through when they are let, like they're buying their own hype. I'm going to be here forever. I'm the man. And then they're injured and people are all of a sudden, even though in his mind, he's the man, they're trying to tell him what to do, tell him how to change his game. And he's like, why would I do that? I'm the man, which I'm really trying to not throw out the F word here, but man, I wanted to on that one. And it's just,
No, I mean, I get that. You don't know what to listen to.
Oh, I'm not defending him at all. Like, he's clearly like, it sounds like an ego thing to me.
Exactly. It's a total ego thing. And like, I think that's a problem a lot with a lot of like superstar, I'm using air quotes, superstar athletes where they think that their coaches don't have anything to offer them because they're so good. And that's because from the time they were able to pick up the ball or shoot the puck or whatever, you know, their coaches were telling them that they're amazing, but like there's still things to learn. There's always things to learn.
I was really hoping that Tom Brady was going to fail miserably, especially after the Saints beat him twice in the regular season. And it killed me when I found out that's who we were getting in the playoffs, because one thing I know after decades of watching pro sports is if a team is a good team, even it doesn't matter how much better than them you are, you're probably not beating them three times in the same season. It's just not going to happen. If they have a good coach and they have good players, and they clearly have a good coach, they clearly have good players. Mm-hmm. And I had a feeling for weeks, like all week, like we're not winning this game. Oh, and it just killed me.
I was rooting for you guys. I hate Tom Brady. Like, I hate Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
And beating him with a backup quarterback is one of the greatest joys of my life in the Super Bowl. You know?
Yes.
And I bring it up to anybody that I meet from Boston. Anybody.
Absolutely.
I did it on my show last night because Gary was from Boston.
And I think, and there's so many, like, there's so many things about him that are so hateable. And one of them is, like, forcing the trade of Jimmy Garoppolo when he was just going to leave a couple seasons later. Mm-hmm. And like, you had your backup, of the future, and he forced him to do that. That's a dick move, man.
That is a dick move. That's a huge dick move. He has just such a,
like, he was, face. I think he was already 40 when he forced that, when he forced their hand on that. Gross. If not, he was 38 or 39. And that just means you don't actually care about the team. You only care about you.
Well, he had Robert Kraft wrapped around his finger, totally wrapped around his finger. Cause you know, that wasn't a Belichick call because he's too smart.
No way. Exactly. Exactly.
I also hate the fact that he is such a poor sport.
Yeah.
Like, he did not shake Nick Foles' hand after that Super Bowl win. He did it again when Foles beat him with the Bears this past season.
Yep.
And it's like, if anybody else would have did it, they would have got called out on it. But because it's Tom,
it would have been the headline on ESPN for days.
Yeah, totally. If Nick Foles would have done that to Tom Brady, they would have been like, oh, well, he's such a bad sport. But everybody's just so like on his jock that it's like he can't.
I hate the level of hypocrisy that you get with him being the top guy, you know, where, again, he doesn't get called out for anything.
No, he's a cheater. He's a big, big cheater.
That's exactly right. And that's the one thing most people need to take away from this podcast.
Yes.
Blueberry pie And Tom Brady is a horrible, pathetic cheater.
Absolutely. I think we have definitely hit our goal, I think.
I think we have.
So
absolutely.
So what are you telling the kids at home where everybody can find you on the internet?
Everybody can find me as online on any social media as Peppermint Fatty. Exact TikTok, where I'm X Peppermint Fatty X, even though I'm not posting anything. So follow me on Instagram, follow me on Facebook. Ladies, slide to my DMs on Snapchat. Apparently that's where it goes down. I haven't experienced that yet, but that's what I'm still hearing. And hopefully I will be doing some, not hopefully, very soon I'll be debuting a couple of new regular podcasts on the Manifest Network. So follow that on Facebook, facebook.com/the Manifest Network. Which is all going to be, it's all going to be paranormal stuff. And also, I just found out this week, I'm going to be starting a new podcast with Jesse Snyder, the son of Dee Snyder. And I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
That's cool. What's that going to be about?
I think it's just going to be us like just talking about whatever's going on in the world that week, talking about the newest episode of WandaVision, just nerding out over nerd stuff.
Dude, and, that's awesome.
Like, this is very fresh. We barely even had a chance to talk about it yet. That's going to be coming very, very soon.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, hey, man, thanks so much for sitting down and talking with me.
This has been a really fun talk. I've had a blast tonight.
Awesome. Me too. Me too. All right, man. And hey, did you eat?
I did eat, but I'm ready to eat again right now.
See? Soulmates. Soulmates.
Absolutely.
All right. That was James McDaniel, otherwise known as Peppermint Fatty. You can hit him up on Instagram at Peppermint Fatty. You can hit him up pretty much everywhere, Peppermint Fatty, except like you said on TikTok, it's X Peppermint Fatty X, I believe. Anyway, he was awesome. And we talked for a good long time after this, too. And he's just delightful. Delightful. Check out his live streams on Discovery, on their Facebook page, and all over the place. He's everywhere. This guy's everywhere, man. Anyway, if you could rate and review us on iTunes, that would be swell. I really appreciate it. It bumps us up in the search stuff, and I would just really appreciate it. So if you could do that, that'd be sweet. And don't forget, Haha Hot Sauce, HAHAHotSauce.com, and the 12 Questions Podcast. Check it out. It's a good time. It is a really good time. You can check me out on the Did You Eat Instagram page at Didja, D-I-D-J-A underscore eat. You can also check me out on my personal page, Yatesy75, Y-A-T-E-S-Y-7-5 on all these social medias. And hey, did you eat?